Altitude sickness prevention, teleconsult advice for mountain tourists. What is altitude sickness and how can you prevent it? Altitude sickness is a condition caused by low oxygen levels at high altitudes, typically above 2,500 meters. It can lead to symptoms like headache, nausea, and fatigue, or severe complications like HAPE or HACE. You can prevent it by ascending slowly, drinking plenty of water, eating well, and consulting a doctor before or during your trip. Every year, thousands of people travel to the world's tallest mountain ranges to enjoy adventure, peace, and incredible views. From the towering Himalayas to the trails of the Andes and the Alps, hiking at high altitudes has become increasingly popular. But going high up in the mountains can also be risky, especially when it comes to your health. One of the biggest dangers is altitude sickness. This occurs when your body struggles to adapt to the lower oxygen levels at high altitudes, typically above 2,500 meters, approximately 8,200 feet. In severe cases, it can turn into life-threatening conditions like high-altitude pulmonary edema, HAPE, or high-altitude cerebral edema, HAEC, which need emergency treatment right away. Altitude sickness affects about 1 in 4 people who ascend to high altitudes quickly and up to 3 out of 4 people above 4,000 meters, approximately 13,000 feet, especially if they don't take the time to acclimate properly. To stay healthy in the mountains, people usually climb slowly, drink lots of water, and sometimes take medicine. However, there's now a new way to get help: teleconsultation. That means you can talk to a doctor on your phone or computer. In this blog, we'll cover how to prevent altitude sickness, what symptoms to look for, what to do if you feel sick at high altitudes, how teleconsultation can help save lives. Whether you're an experienced hiker or just starting, knowing how to stay healthy at high altitudes and when to ask for help can make your trip much safer and more fun. Understanding the problem. When people ascend to high altitudes too quickly, such as those found in high mountains, they can develop a range of health problems known as altitude sickness. This happens because there's less oxygen in the air the higher you go, and your body needs time to get used to it. There are 3 main types: AMS, acute mountain sickness, the most common and usually mild; HAPE, high altitude pulmonary edema, serious with fluid in the lungs; HACE, high altitude cerebral edema, very serious with swelling in the brain. How common is it? Around 1 in 5 people feel sick when they quickly go up to 2,500 meters, about 8,200 feet. At 3,000 meters, nearly 40% of people experience altitude sickness, AMS. HAPE is rare, but can happen in up to 6% of people above 4,500 meters, especially if they go up too fast. HACE is very rare, occurring in less than 1% of cases, but it's also dangerous and can occur at altitudes above 4,000 meters. Who is most at risk? Some people are more likely to get sick in the mountains, climbing too fast, not giving your body enough time to adjust. Sleeping too high up, staying overnight at high places can make symptoms worse. Having it before, if you've had AMS, HAPE, or HACE before, it can come back. Other risks: young men, people doing heavy exercise, those with heart or lung problems, or even just unlucky genetics. What are the signs? Here's what to watch for. Type AMS. When it starts, 6 to 12 hours after climbing. Common symptoms: headache, nausea, tiredness, dizziness, inadequate sleep. Type HAPE. When it starts, 2 to 4 days after climbing. Common symptoms: trouble breathing, chest pain, cough, maybe frothy, fast heartbeat, blue lips or fingers. Type HACE. When it starts, days after AMS starts. Common symptoms: confusion, acting strange, stumbling, very tired, possibly coma. Warning: AMS can turn into HACE in a day, or HAPE in half a day, if not treated fast. What causes it? At high altitudes, the air is thinner and has less oxygen. Your blood oxygen levels drop, usually around 88 to 91% at 3,000 meters. For AMS and HACE, your brain may swell slightly because of fluid leaks. For HAPE, your lungs fill with fluid due to high pressure in the blood vessels. Why this is important for travelers? Anyone can get it, even healthy athletic people. It can get worse quickly. Early signs can seem mild, but things can go bad fast. Help might take a long time to arrive in the mountains, so it's important to act quickly if someone feels sick. In short, learning about what causes altitude sickness and how to spot it can help you stay safe. This knowledge also allows doctors, either in person or through telehealth, to give you the right advice if something goes wrong during your mountain trip. Core prevention strategies: how to stay safe at high altitude. If you're going up into the mountains, it's essential to take care of your body to avoid getting sick from the high altitude. Here's how to prepare and stay healthy. Go up slowly and let your body adjust. Take your time going higher. When you climb above 3,000 meters, around 10,000 feet, don't go up too fast. Try to sleep only 300 meters, about 1,000 feet, higher each night. For every 900 meters, approximately 3,000 feet, you ascend, take an extra day to rest. Climb high, sleep low. You can hike up high during the day, but go back down to sleep at a lower place. This helps your body acclimate to the thin air without becoming too tired. More extended trips equals more rest. For big hikes like Everest Base Camp, climbers often go up, then back down, again and again, over many days, even 30 plus, to help their bodies adjust. Drink water and eat right. Drink lots of water. Air is dry up high. You lose water just by breathing. Try to drink 4 to 6 liters, about 8 to 12 water bottles, a day. Add things like electrolytes, found in sports drinks, to stay balanced. Eat carbs for energy. Eat lots of carbs, like rice, bread, pasta. They give you energy and are easier to digest at high altitudes. Add protein and healthy fats as well, and snack on things like dried fruit and nuts. Vitamins help too. Your body needs iron and vitamins, such as C, E, and A, to stay strong and adjust to the altitude. Take it easy and rest. Don't overdo it at first. During your first 2 days at high places, don't push yourself too hard. Go for light walks instead of long hikes. Moving around helps your body adjust more effectively than simply sleeping all day. Rest days are important. After going up 900 meters, about 3,000 feet, take a day off to let your body catch up. Avoid things that make it worse. Stay away from alcohol, smoking, and sleep pills. These factors make it harder to breathe and can exacerbate altitude sickness. Skip unproven tricks. Coca tea or hypoxic tents might not be effective unless used correctly. Stick to methods that doctors recommend. Easy summary: what to do. What to do: go up slowly, sleep lower. Why it helps: helps your body get used to less oxygen. What to do: drink 4 to 6 liters of water daily. Why it helps: keeps your brain and body working well. What to do: eat carbs, protein, and healthy fats. Why it helps: gives you energy and supports your blood. What to do: do light activity and take rest days. Why it helps: reduces stress and helps your body adjust. What to do: avoid alcohol, smoking, and sleep meds. Why it helps: keeps your breathing strong. By going slowly, drinking enough, eating well, moving gently, and avoiding harmful things, you can have a safe and fun time in the mountains. medicine to help prevent altitude sickness. Besides climbing slowly and drinking lots of water, some people also take medicine to help their bodies adjust to high altitudes. These medicines don't replace rest and thoughtful planning, but they can help in certain situations. Acetazolamide, also called Diamox. How it works. This medicine helps your body breathe better by making it act like it's already getting used to the altitude. It enables you to take in more oxygen. When and how much? Most people take 125 milligrams twice a day, starting a day before the climb, and keep taking it for a couple of days after reaching the highest point. For riskier trips, 250 milligrams twice daily may be used. Smaller doses are less effective. Side effects: tingling in fingers or toes, weird taste in your mouth, needing to pee more, or ringing in your ears. Don't use it if you have severe kidney liver problems or are allergic to certain medicines. Dexamethasone. How it works. This is a steroid medicine. It can prevent altitude sickness and brain swelling, known as HACE. However, it doesn't help your body adjust as effectively as Diamox does. When and how much? For prevention, 4 milligrams every 12 hours, starting the day before the climb. For treatment, start with 8 milligrams, then reduce to 4 milligrams every 6 hours. Be careful. This isn't good for long trips. You should stop after about 10 days so your body doesn't get too used to it. Nifedipine and similar medicines. What it helps with. This medicine is for people who've had serious lung problems at high altitudes, like HAPE, high altitude pulmonary edema. It helps lower pressure in the lungs. When and how much? 30 to 60 milligrams twice a day, starting the day before you climb and keep taking it for 4 to 7 days. Other options. If someone can't take nifedipine, a doctor might give tadalafil, 10 milligrams twice a day, instead. Ibuprofen. What it helps with. This over-the-counter, OTC painkiller can lower the chance of getting altitude sickness and help with headaches. How much? 600 milligrams, 3 times a day. This is a good backup if you can't take the stronger medicines above. Which medicine should you take? Medicine. Acetazolamide, Diamox. Best for most people at high altitudes. Notes. Helps your body adjust. Medicine, dexamethasone. Best for if you can't take Diamox or climb fast. Notes. Good for preventing or treating sickness. Medicine, nifedipine. Best for people who've had HAPE. Notes. Keeps lungs from filling with fluid. Medicine, PDE5, like tadalafil. Best for people who can't use nifedipine. Notes. Doctor prescribed backup. Medicine, ibuprofen. Best for mild problems or headaches. Notes. Easy to buy, not as strong. Important reminders. Talk to a doctor first. These are not just-in-case pills. Your doctor should tell you what's safe for you. Start early. Begin your medicine about 1 day before the scheduled increase. You can combine medicines if your risk is high, but only with a doctor's advice. Medicine is not magic. You still need to go up slowly, drink plenty of water, rest, and eat a balanced diet. Watching for altitude sickness. When you're in the mountains, it's super important to pay attention to how your body feels. Catching signs of altitude sickness early can help prevent it from worsening. Early warning signs. Sometimes your body gives warning signs before altitude sickness becomes serious. Don't ignore them. Mild symptoms, AMS, acute mountain sickness. Usually, it starts 6 to 12 hours after the temperature rises. Look out for headache, nausea, feeling like you'll throw up, feeling tired, dizziness, trouble sleeping. Lung problems, HAPE, high altitude pulmonary edema, usually starts 2 to 4 days after going up. Warning signs, hard to breathe, even when resting, a tight feeling in your chest, cough, maybe pink or bubbly, fast heartbeat, lips or fingers look blue. Brain problems, HACE, high altitude cerebral edema. Very serious, get help right away. Watch for confusion, trouble walking straight, horrible headache, acting super sleepy or slow, passing out or a coma. Using a pulse oximeter. A pulse oximeter is a tiny device you put on your finger. It measures the amount of oxygen in your blood, represented by SpO2. When you go up high, your SpO2 level decreases. This is normal. At 3,000 meters, it's common to see numbers in the high 80s. If your SpO2 is below 80%, you might be getting altitude sickness. Tip: check your oxygen level 3 times a day, morning, afternoon, and evening, and record your number and how you feel. Good and bad things about oximeters. Good things: shows how your body is handling the altitude. Helps you catch sickness early. You can share the numbers with doctors using telehealth, like video or phone calls. Be careful. It's not always perfect, especially if your hands are cold or you move too much. If the number is low, under 80%, it's harder for the device to be accurate. Don't just look at the number, also pay attention to your symptoms. Keeping track of how you feel. Use a checklist or journal to keep track of your progress. Some people use the Lake Louise score for this. Things to write down: your symptoms, headache, sleep problems, tiredness, etc. Your SpO2 reading, any changes in mood or appetite. Example, if you have a headache and SpO2 is under 85%, that's a warning sign. Time to slow down and observe. What to do based on symptoms. Situation: mild symptoms plus SpO2 above 85%. What to do? Rest, drink water, take ibuprofen if needed. Don't climb higher. Situation: moderate symptoms or SpO2, 75 to 85%. What to do? Rest. Consider taking acetazolamide. Talk to a doctor. Maybe go down 300 to 500 meters. Situation: severe symptoms, HAPE or HACE, or SpO2, below 75%. What to do? Go down right away, give oxygen or dexamethasone, and get help fast. Teleconsultation. If you're far from a hospital, you can still talk to a doctor by phone. Here's how. Keep a log of symptoms and SpO2 numbers. Send your info with a phone or an app. The doctor can help decide, is it safe to wait? Should you go down the mountain? Do you need medicine or rescue? How to treat altitude sickness. If someone starts to feel sick from the altitude, knowing what to do quickly can keep it from getting worse or even save a life. Here's how to treat different levels of sickness in the mountains. Treating mild altitude sickness, AMS. If someone has a mild headache, feels tired, or is a little sick at high altitude, around 2,500 to 3,500 meters. Stop climbing. Rest where you are. Drink 3 to 4 liters of water each day. Add electrolytes. Take medicine for pain, like ibuprofen, 600 milligrams, or paracetamol every 6 to 8 hours. If a doctor prescribed acetazolamide, Diamox, for you before the trip, take it now. 125 milligrams twice a day. Watch symptoms and your SpO2 level, oxygen in your blood. If you feel better after a day, you can slowly climb again. If you are unsure, please get in touch with a doctor by phone or message. Share your symptoms, SpO2 reading, and how you feel. They'll help you decide whether to go up, stay, or go down. Treating moderate altitude sickness. If symptoms get worse or don't improve in 1 to 2 days, or if your SpO2 drops below 85%, go down 300 to 500 meters or return to a lower spot. Keep drinking water and taking acetazolamide. Add dexamethasone, 4 milligrams every 6 hours, if the person is confused or having trouble walking. Doctors may suggest oxygen, a special pressure bag, or more decent. If symptoms stay bad or SpO2 doesn't go up, you may need an emergency evacuation. Treating lung problems, HAPE. If someone is short of breath, even while resting, coughing up pink, frothy spit, or their lips are turning blue, this is serious. Descend at least 1,000 meters immediately. Give oxygen until SpO2 is above 90%. Give dexamethasone, 4 milligrams every 6 hours, and nifedipine, 30 to 60 milligrams every 12 hours. Use a portable pressure bag, like a gammo bag, for 1 hour if you can't descend quickly. Share SpO2, symptoms, and breathing info. The doctor can help plan a rescue by helicopter or ground if needed. Treating brain swelling, HACE. If someone is confused, can't walk straight, acts very sleepy, or passes out, this is an emergency. Go down 1,000 meters or more immediately. Give dexamethasone. Start with 8 milligrams, then 4 milligrams every 6 hours. Give oxygen to keep SpO2 above 90%. Use a pressure bag if descent is delayed. Call for help right away. Haste can be deadly without fast treatment. What to do? Simple chart. How bad? Mild AMS. What you see? Headache, nausea, SpO, 285% plus. What to do? Rest, drink water, take meds. Doctor can help with. Check if it's safe to keep climbing. How bad? Moderate AMS. What you see? Symptoms don't get better. SpO2, less than 85%. What to do? Go down 300 to 500 meters. Add dexamethasone. Doctor can help with. See if oxygen or evacuation is needed. How bad? HAPE. What you see? Trouble breathing, cough, SpO2, less than 80%. What to do? Go down 1,000 meters plus, give meds and oxygen. Doctor can help. With, help plan a rescue. How bad? HACE. What you see? Confused, sleepy, can't walk, coma. What to do? Emergency descent, give meds and oxygen. Doctor can help with, call for emergency rescue. Getting help from doctors, teleconsultation. If you're far from a hospital, you can still get help by calling or messaging an online doctor. Send your SpO2 numbers, symptoms, and photos or video if needed. The doctor can assess the severity of the situation and advise you on the next steps. They may help arrange a rescue by helicopter or ground in the event of an emergency. In short, if you feel sick at high altitudes, watch your symptoms and SpO2. Know when to rest, treat, or go down. Get help early using teleconsultation. Best ways to use teleconsulting in the mountains. Teleconsulting means getting help from a doctor through your phone or satellite device when you're far away, like in the mountains. Here's how to do it right. Stay safe and be prepared. Talk to a doctor before your trip. Before you even leave, have a video or phone call with a mountain doctor to check your health history, like if you've had altitude sickness before or have heart-lung problems. Ask about medicines like acetazolamide or dexamethasone. Make a safety plan in case you get sick while hiking. The doctor can help you pack the right medicine and tools for your trip. How to tell a doctor what's going on? Teletriage. If you start to feel sick, it helps to organize your info before talking to the doctor. Use a checklist to score symptoms like headaches, nausea, or tiredness. Share your SpO2, heart rate, or blood pressure if you have them. Set clear danger signs, like SpO2 under 85%, confusion, or trouble walking. These mean it's time to act fast. The more precise and detailed your information is, the better the doctor can help you, even from a distance. use the right tech. Bring helpful devices on your trip. Pulse oximeter checks your oxygen level. Satellite messenger or phone lets you talk to a doctor when there's no cell signal. Apps help you track how you feel and share that with doctors. Wearable health monitors, such as smartwatches that track heart or breathing. If you don't have internet, some apps store your info until they can upload it later. Trained local helpers. Some mountain trips have trained guides or nurses who know how to help with teleconsulting. They can take your SpO2, check your lungs, or do simple exams. They talk to the remote doctor and help follow instructions. Example: in the Alps, nurses in huts helped doctors respond in about 20 to 30 minutes. All team members should be familiar with using medical tools and follow established emergency plans. Legal and insurance stuff. A few important rules. Doctors may only be allowed to give medicine in certain places, depending on the country. You must say it's okay for them to use your health info, called giving consent. Check if your travel insurance covers teleconsultations and emergency rescue. These steps ensure everything is legal, safe, and protected in case something goes wrong. Planning for safe mountain trips. To stay safe from altitude sickness, you need more than just gear. You need a brilliant plan. Here's how to prepare your trip so everyone stays healthy and ready for help if something goes wrong. Get ready before the trip. Medical supplies and medicines. Get your medicine early, like acetazolamide or dexamethasone. Pack a complete first aid kit, pulse oximeter, oxygen, and a Gamow bag if allowed. Include clear instructions on when and how to use each medicine. Health check with a doctor. Have a teleconsultation, video or phone call, with a mountain doctor. They'll check if you're fit to go, look at past health problems, and help plan your meds. Know what to expect. Talk to your group about altitude sickness, how to spot signs early, and how teleconsulting works. Everyone should feel okay asking for help if they don't feel well. Emergency planning. Map out a plan to get down quickly if someone gets sick. Know where the nearest doctor or hospital is. Make sure your travel insurance covers rescue or helicopter help. Train your team. Know everyone's job. Train guides and helpers on the proper use of medical tools and how to follow checklists. Pick a medical leader to take readings and handle medicine. The guide communicates with the remote doctor and leads the rescue if necessary. Practice drills. Run practice sessions, sharing SpO2 data. Giving oxygen, acting out emergency evacuations. This helps everyone stay calm in the event of an emergency. Staying connected. Have more than one way to communicate. Bring both a cell phone and a satellite phone or messenger, like Iridium Go. Test them before the trip to ensure they work correctly. Use the radio as a last backup. Keep things charged. Bring solar panels or big power banks. Always keep your phones, oximeters, and satellite devices fully charged. Use good apps. Pick apps that work even when offline. Ensure they keep your information safe and private. Follow the rules. Check the laws in each country. Ensure your telemedicine doctor is authorized to provide advice in the country you're visiting. Get consent and protect info. Everyone must acknowledge that it's okay to share their health information with remote doctors. That info should be protected and only shared safely. Check your insurance. Make sure it covers teleconsults, video phone doctor help, medicines, rescue services like helicopters, GPS tracking, budgeting and supplies. Plan your costs. Think ahead, medicine, satellite communication, special tools like Gamo bags. Smart spending. Yes, it might seem expensive at first, but telemedicine can prevent minor problems from escalating into major emergencies, which ultimately saves money and lives in the long run. Quick summary table. Category: medical. What to do? Get meds, build a first aid kit, and check with the doctor. Category: teleconsult. What to do? Set up with a doctor, get permissions, and protect data. Category: logistics. What to do? Map routes, plan for rescue, and check your insurance. Category: training. What to do? Teach your team, practice using tools, and run drills. Category: infrastructure. What to do? Test phones, bring chargers, have backup comms. Category: budget and insurance. What to do? Plan your costs, check what insurance covers. Good planning helps a lot. When your group knows what to do, has the right supplies, and can talk to a doctor if needed, you can stay safe and enjoy your mountain trip. Frequently asked questions about altitude sickness and teleconsultation. What is the best way to prevent altitude sickness? The best prevention includes slow ascent, sleeping at lower altitudes, staying hydrated, eating a balanced diet, and resting often. Medications like acetazolamide may help when prescribed. Can altitude sickness be treated with telemedicine? Yes. Teleconsultation allows doctors to assess symptoms, review SpO2 data, and advise whether to continue, descend, or begin treatment, even in remote areas. What are the symptoms of HAPE and HACE? HAPE causes breathing difficulty, chest pain, and coughing with frothy sputum. HACE leads to confusion, coordination problems, and may cause coma. Both are medical emergencies. When should I descend due to altitude sickness? If your SpO2 is below 80% or symptoms worsen, confusion, trouble walking, breathlessness, you should descend 500 to 1,000 meters and seek help immediately. Can I use a pulse oximeter to monitor altitude sickness? Yes. Pulse oximeters help track blood oxygen levels. Readings under 85% with symptoms indicate moderate concern. Under 75% is a red flag. Conclusion: climbing tall mountains can be a fantastic adventure. The views are beautiful, and it's something you'll never forget. But being way up high can also make you feel sick if your body doesn't have time to get used to it. This is called altitude sickness. It may start with a slight headache, but it can worsen quickly if left untreated. The good news is that altitude sickness can often be prevented. By climbing slowly, drinking plenty of water, eating a balanced diet, and getting sufficient rest, you can help your body adjust to the new altitude. There are also medicines and tools, such as pulse oximeters, that help you monitor your health. If you do get sick, knowing the signs early and seeking help quickly can help prevent the condition from worsening. That's where Mobi Doctor can help. Mobi Doctor is an online doctor service that lets you talk to a real doctor from your phone, wherever you are, even if you're in the mountains. You can consult a doctor before your trip to determine if you're healthy enough to travel. Ask for advice and medicine to help prevent altitude sickness. Get help during your trip if you start to feel sick or need to know what to do next. With Mobi Doctor, help is just a tap away, no matter where you are.